Welcome back, everybody, to the Stark Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and everything in between. Today, we are recapping The Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 in full spoiler details. So if you haven't seen the episode, get out of here. The volume, get out of here. And I'm here with a guy who ate all of my Zarg nuts. It's Tommy Pizzullo. Tommy, how's it going?
I'm not podcasting, Michael, until you take back what you said and you call me a good boy.
Oh my God, not this. You're a good podcaster, Tommy.
All right, thank you.
You were a mere man, and then I put you in my evolutionary machine, and now you are this incredible podcaster. You've evolved to the greatest of us.
Have you seen my mom? Hey, I'm here on the podcast, excited to talk about Guardians. Man, Marvel can make movies again, I guess. Yeah. I guess we can do it.
I think it depends on who's in the chair, and we had a good one with James Gunn. So, we also have another good one here on the podcast. It is our great friend from the Land Down Under, from the Lights, Camera, Rant podcast. One of the great podcasters, honestly, out there hustling all the time. Like this guy, like he's kind of an inspiration for me. It's our good buddy Lee. Lee, how are you?
Morning, gentlemen, and thanks, man. I really appreciate that. I'm just happy to be here. Actually, our episode with both of you is fantastic.
Yes, yes. The guardians of podcasting are together now.
Yeah, yep. And
it's
representing
like a double stuffed Oreo.
Yes. Yes, Lee, you woke up so early for us. You put on the Stark Wars shirt. We really appreciate it. Lee, how's everything going in your world? You doing all right?
Doing really good, man. This movie broke me. Oh, Marvel's back. This is top tier Marvel. And I was so happy about this, and I was so excited when you invited me to talk about it. I was like, yes, I'm in.
Yes, absolutely, and I can't wait to break it all down with you. Tommy, you know, we had texted back and forth a little bit, which we don't always do, but we had like a brief like therapy session about the movie, and I'll be honest, like I think a lot of any issue that I have with this movie, it's like the issue I have with any Marvel movie, and it's like not necessarily anything that I have against this movie, but there's just like themes that I just wish would go away. With that being said, Tommy, I told you I need time to sit on it, and I've sat, and I feel a lot better about this movie. I do have some complaints here and there, but at the end of the day, like when it comes to Marvel movies, like beggars can't be choosers, baby. Like this was pretty dang good for what they've been giving us.
Yeah, and it sucks that we're in this day and age where it feels like Marvel and DC are just going to be reversing spots where we're like, we'll just take any DC movie that's somewhat okay. And I feel like that's where we're at with Marvel. Except for me, this movie definitely felt like we're back in, you know, early 2011, 20, when we were at the peak of Marvel. I love this movie, and I hear what you're saying, and I think a big part of why this worked is James Gunn focused on making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, not setting up 20 different plot lines and villains for future MCU projects. I hope this is a wake-up call for Marvel, because it should be. Stop focusing on the next project. You can hint to things, but like focus on making a movie first. We've said this a million times, but it was so nice to see it in this movie. And yeah.
Yeah, no, very well said. I think that's one thing I've like really had to grapple with. And it's one thing you told me, Tommy, was like, this is like everything about this movie is just true to the spirit of Guardians of the Galaxy. From the humor, whether it hits or miss, from the action, everything about it, like this is like the heart. And it's the thing we've like been vying for ever since the first Guardians came out, right? Yeah. I mean, we got a little bit of Thor Ragnarok. I think that tried to recreate that magic a little bit. And they tried it again with Thor Love and Thunder. That didn't really go well. But like this kind of feels like they finally hit their stride again with that first Guardians movie. I will say, and actually, Lee, I'll throw it to you next because I want to hear your take on this. If I had to rank the Guardians of the Galaxy projects, including the holiday special, I think this is actually my third favorite. And that being said, I think the first one is so iconic, right? Mm. I think like there's just so many iconic scenes, the introductions of the characters. I thought the humor hits a lot more in that first one. Now, holiday special is actually my number two. And I feel like the reason is it's a much more succinct story. There's one little problem. They're figuring it out. It's very cute. There's an emotional ending to it. Like, it's just very succinct. I feel like this movie had a lot more going on, which sometimes took away from some of the greater hits that I was looking for. not too much of an insult, just because those other two are just so high in my mind. And then obviously the second one is last. I think everyone might agree with that, but I don't know. Lee, tell me, what's your ranking?
For me, it'd be Guardians of the Galaxy 1. Straight, you can't miss that. And one of the best things I love about the Guardians of the Galaxy is when we first got this announced, I remember thinking, how am I going to bring a talking tree, a talking raccoon, a whole bunch of characters we've never heard of? And 10 years later, it is one of the most beloved franchises in the entire MCU franchise altogether. So it'd be Guardians of the Galaxy 1 for me, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, then the holiday special, and Guardians of the Galaxy 2 at the last for me. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was good, but compared to the first one and compared to what we've just seen, it's just a little bit lower for me. And the holiday special was just perfect. You know, when that got announced, I was like, yeah, all right, a holiday special. As soon as it finished, I'm like, yes, this is fantastic. More Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, don't count James Gunn out. Yeah, no matter, you might look at what he's done and be like, okay, what the heck is this? But he always pulls it out. So Tommy, where do you fall on this? Are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty similar. A couple tweaks. I do think 3 is highest for me. It's hard. It's living rent free in my head right now. So that's influencing it. On rewatches, 1 is great because James Gunn is really good at knowing characters and making them 3-dimensional. And like 1 did that from the beginning. You knew those characters so well, and it's a great movie. But on rewatches, the story doesn't work as well for me. It's like they solve it by dancing. It's fun and cute, but in rewatches, it doesn't hit as well for me. But it's hard. It's hard. It's like what we say about pilot when you're ranking TV episodes. Like, well, it's hard for a pilot because like you got to do so much in that pilot, so you should probably rank it number 1. So like it could be interchangeable for me. 3 and 1 for me. Then I would go holiday special, 3-1 holiday special, 2, but 2 is still an A. Like, to me, we're talking about all A's, and we're just like, to me, the bigger question I would like to ask is like, is this the best Marvel trilogy?
I had the same question with my friends after we watched the movie, was where do we rank this trilogy now? Because to me, Captain America has had, besides the Avengers movie, Captain America has had the most solid win of a trilogy. And now, Guardians of the Galaxy would have to be, almost knock it off for me, or 2nd is the best trilogy.
Yeah, assuming we're not counting Avengers movies, because I think like all of those for me are like top tier. I think I do prefer Captain America, but this is right there with it, so...
Yeah, I'd throw another in the ring is Spider-Man, I think, is another one that would be an interesting conversation about. But those are, to me, the top 3. I think for me, just because I think I'm on an island alone, Civil War has never worked for me. It's like I love Captain America 1 and 2. And maybe that's why I was so invested in the 3rd one. But I think to me, top 3 is Guardians, Spider-Man, and Captain America right now. In whatever order for people.
Yeah,
nah, it's true. Well, it's gonna be very hard for a movie that's gonna top No Way Home as their 3rd movie.
Yeah,
like
No Way Home is such like a pain in the butt. Having post Endgame, because you know every time a Marvel movie comes out, I want to be like, this is the best one since Endgame. But the truth is, like, No Way Home is always right there. Like, it's gonna be impossible to top that movie. It is like Endgame 2 level. Like, you know, I want to say this is the best movie since Endgame, but like, you know, the pesky little No Way Home is always gonna be better than like anything else. Can we get back to that? Can we get back to that level of movie? I hope so.
DC might get to that level.
Yeah, but DC gonna like prod, like, come on, keep going.
Yeah,
you can do it.
Okay, guys. Well, let's dive into the movie a little bit. I've got like a bunch of different talking points. We'll probably be jumping all over the place. I'll kind of throw it at you guys. And the first one on my list here is a character that we see for the first time in the very first action set piece. We get Adam Warlock, which this was somebody that was teased. Was it the post-credit scene of 2 or 1 that he was teased?
2.
Okay. It feels like 10 years ago that was. It might have been. I don't know.
Well, it's funny you actually say that, because this one actually marks the longest sequel in the MCU gap. I think it's like 6 and 3 months.
Wow.
So 6 years and 3 months.
Yeah, that's wild. So it does feel like a long time since he was teased, but we finally get him here. And, you know, This might be somewhere I complain a little bit, just because, like, I don't know a lot about Adam Warlock, but having heard, like, people saying, oh, Adam Warlock's gonna be the best, like, he's kind of a screw up. Like, he screws up a lot in this. Like, Drax, like, even in this first scene, Drax takes him down. I don't think that's, like, for the person that's supposed to be, like, the Superman of the MCU. Yeah. I don't know. I guess they did mention he's, like, a little premature.
Yeah, he came out early.
Yeah.
That's why he's a bit dumb. But yeah, he was actually a crucial part in the Infinity War comic. And like he was the one who was Hulk who was coming to Earth. Silver Surfer, but Warlock was a crucial part of the Infinity War, and yeah, he's basically a Superman.
Yeah, Warlock could have been done. I think I have a theory on why Warlock was done this way. James Gunn has loved Warlock. Adam Warlock has been, you know, we said it, hinted at in Volume 2. Volume 1, we had the Easter egg of the cocoon, but it, you know, retconned because then they just decided to do something else with it. Anyways, and so I think he's on the way out. Let's ruin Warlock for Marvel. Let's damage Warlock. Let's make him this goofy guy and just Marvel, good luck fixing it now. That's my theory. But in all actuality, I think it just felt like he wanted to do this character and kind of hammed it in because he knew he was leaving. So it's like, oh, I got to get it in because I've been setting it up. The fans want Warlock. Let's do it and just get it over with. It definitely a little, like, for me, same with you, Michael, like a little like, I could have done better, but didn't hurt the movie for me. But Warlock has so much potential. There's stuff with his like alter. There's evil sides. There's so much there that they could have went into. He could have been the whole villain. He could have been the entire movie villain and protagonist, like both sides. But
I will say, if there's any caveat to this character absolutely sucking, it's the fact that this is his first iteration. This character's not done, right? They give him a lot of room to grow. And I think that that's something I'm going to really look forward to in the future of whatever the next Guardians or whatever, wherever we find him next. I like to see that growth in characters, and there's a hell of a lot of room to do that, Adam.
Yeah. Now there is. And the big thing is, like, when are we going to see him again? When are we going to see this giant god of a character come up again in the entire, like when are we going to see him again? That's the biggest question. And that's with a lot of these characters ever since phase 4 is, where the hell is everybody?
Yeah. We need to get everyone. We need to, like, I was saying this earlier, like, to a friend of mine, is like Marvel, the real, like, if you take that first phase, yeah, it was crazy and it was wild that all these teams were teaming up. But it was like there was rails on the world. There was things I could, like, I knew where I was. I felt stable. I'm floating around in space right now in the Marvel world, and I don't know where we are. I don't know. I can't get my bearings. I'm trying to get back to Earth. We need to relocate everyone, reestablish what we're doing here, and then move forward. Because right now, we're floating around.
Yeah.
Are the Avengers a thing right now? Like, no. They're just not.
There's no Avengers at the moment because there's no Avengers HQ anymore. There's technically Earth is completely unprotected now.
Yeah, that's kind of wild. It's something I don't really think about. Like, I feel like they all kind of came together, but then all went their separate ways anyway. So I don't know.
Or died. Interesting.
Anything else on Adam Warlock? Any standout scenes for you guys?
I probably did chuckle a lot when his mum was like, oh, show him business. Yeah, okay. Completely destroys him. And like, oh, sorry. But I probably want to think about Adam Warlock is that first scene, his suit, his comic book suit was fantastic when he rocked up and you saw the full shot of him. That was fantastic.
Yeah, and I like the message of like, hey, you can have second chances. Like, it fit the Guardians theme in that way of, like, they all got second chances. Now Warlock gets that second chance, too. So I like how they landed it. I don't like the jump. The jump was a little wobbly, but we landed it okay, I guess.
Yeah. That awkward hug at the end.
that was really funny. That got me a little bit.
What about his little pet that he acquires? Did you guys... I mean, this is like...
Yeah.
You got, like, the... he's like a part of the, what's funny is, you know, kind of skipping ahead here, but in the post credits scene, like the new Avengers, like he's on that team, that little pet. So he's not going away.
Yeah, I will train him in the ways of the Sovereign. I will not teach him that.
It's just so funny how like he kind of like acquires this pet from like the High Evolutionary, and then the pet just kind of follows him around and he kind of becomes with him. But then later they get separated and the pet ends up with the Guardians, and the pet is like fighting with the Guardians. I'm like, what's going on here? Like this animal's like, okay, I'm just like, whoever I'm with is who I'm helping.
rocks up with a blue suit. Yeah, I'm part of the Guardians now.
So yeah, I don't know. That was cute. There's going to be like plushies of that thing. I think that was it's merchandise. That's all it was.
Well, look how much Baby Groot blew up after Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
In the pop plant.
Yep. He didn't
should
like
we
have
do
any.
That?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm derailing this. Should we do that? Should we get like a Star Wars mascot so we can like people like bring people into the podcast, be merch like, oh, here's our little fluffy
Baby Tommy. Here's the baby Tommy.
But he's got to be fluffy.
I'll take a pop for you.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Yeah. We're going to have to get into like the stuffed animal game. I think that's like some merch. Attract like, all the, I don't know.
Kids, like, middle-aged adults.
I was going to say attract kids, but I don't know if like, I want to attract kids. I don't know if I want that to be my goal here.
I was going to say kids too, but I thought, oh, I don't think he wants to attract children.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fine byproduct. Like, that's okay if it happens, but like, that shouldn't be my objective.
No. Hey, kids, come listen to the Star Wars. We got everything you need.
Free Wi-Fi, figures.
Good lord. Okay. Now that we're done talking about kids, I want to talk about this. This is right up front here. I kind of want to get some of my complaints out of the way. And this is my biggest one. And it's something that they did like three or four times throughout the movie that just drove me up the wall. I want to talk about the fake deaths in this movie. The Chewbacca moments, okay? There was multiple. There's one with Drax. There's one with Rocket. There's one with Star-Lord. And what annoys me the most is like, and I wonder where this comes from, because I've heard James Gunn in interviews talk about this and how he doesn't like how deaths aren't permanent. And like, it just doesn't feel like this is something he'd do. It's almost, I don't know what, who in like the writer's room is coming up with these moments where they're like, well, let's like kill Star-Lord over like a cassette tape and then like bring him back 2 seconds later. Like, it's such a cheap way of like extracting emotion. It is probably my biggest pet peeve in any type of movie. So, Lee, how did this stuff bother you as much in the movie as it did for me?
I understood it a little bit. Like, I thought the fake deaths were meant to lead to the fact that, oh, you don't know who's going to die, but the big death is coming to, especially for trailer music, for trailer scenes as well. But when no one actually died, I was like, oh, okay. I guess that was just, you didn't have to go that close to someone dying. Now, not to mention, I didn't really think about it until after the movie, but Star-Lord was in space, obviously nearly dying. I'm like, where's his helmet? Why didn't you just turn your helmet on?
He didn't turn his helmet on once in the movie. Did it break or something? I feel like he must have lost it at some point that I can't remember.
Because he was wearing it at the start because he was drunk, but Adam Warlock didn't destroy it when he was I don't know where it was, but that was an arc too. It was like, why didn't you wear your mask when you were about to die?
This movie was Chris Pratt with a gun. This wasn't Star-Lord.
No. I'm sure on the promotion material, we saw the new mask too. They had like the flame, like it was the orange. Like you saw the new mask as well that he was going to wear.
I don't even recall seeing that, but.
Yeah, we need to figure out Star-Lord, especially because of it seems they have plans with him. Because, yeah, I agree with you. It's like, I feel like it's not just Chris Pratt. And it's like, we've lost the parts of Star-Lord. I do like bits that they've done with Star-Lord. Like, we can get into it. But it's like, I like the mentions of him jumping from girl to girl and the fact that he's running. I think they did really well with his character. But, yeah, with this fake death
really
stuff.
Bad.
Yeah, but the fake death stuff. I'm with you. I'm not a big fan of fake deaths. We talked about with Thor: Love and Thunder. I was so upset at all the fake deaths in that movie. I am with this movie too. I don't think the answer is someone dying though, because I do think that if someone died in the Guardians 2, because the whole mission is to save Rocket, and if we lose someone, then it's like, then we have to deal with the fact that like yeah, Rocket, we got you, but also we lost all these people because to save you. So I think like it needed to be when no one died, but I don't think we need to do as many fake deaths because it's like, what's the reason? Maybe James Gunn wanted death and the networks were like, no. And so it had to be like tweaked in that way. There's so much, there's gotta be something because it doesn't line up.
Yeah. And here's my thing. And this is the last I'll say on it. Cause I don't want to be too negative, but for me, it's like you did the Drax thing, you did the Rocket thing, and then the Star-Lord thing happened. And that was the big one, right? That was the big one that was supposed to. At that point, it never once in my mind was like, even when his head is like distorting, I'm like, he's fine. He's going to be okay because this movie's taught me that everyone's going to be okay. And again, I'm not saying that we need death. I like death because it, you know, it gives some stakes to the characters. But the fact that there were not any deaths is not my problem. I'm happy with the way everyone ended. I felt like they sent off the characters in a way that I'm happy with. But like when you do that, it completely diminishes any stakes for the characters. And also when you do put people in dangerous situations, you're just sitting there doubting it the whole time. And it's not, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, that's right. Like, is it because, you know, all these fake deaths has now, you get now even more now, you go watch a Marvel movie, you're like, yeah, no one's going to die. Now like, oh, you nearly became close to death, but you're not dying. Like, you know, a lot more people died in the first phase, I think, of Marvel.
Yeah, we need a Game of Thrones. No one's safe.
Yes.
Everyone can die. But I do think the Peter Quill in space thing, the only redeeming part, and we talked about this briefly, I think it's supposed to be an homage to the first movie of, like, when he was in space and the same type of thing. I think so. But, again, it's not enough of an homage for me that it made sense. And but I will say they did tons of homages to 1 and 2, which I really appreciate in this movie. It's like they did pay respect to dancing coming back and being such a big thing. Like so many things done well, but I think this one didn't land for me if it is supposed to be an homage.
Yeah. Well, okay. I was gonna say the first one, it was him and Gamora in space, and then it was him and Yondu in space, and now.
Now it's Warlock, I guess.
It's beautiful.
All his loves.
All right, guys. Well, let's move on. I think I'm through with my complaints. I think from here on out, I have a lot of positive things to say. Let's talk about this organic planet that they went to, because I thought this was, you know, as far as like, you know, a set piece for the movie. I don't know that it was necessary, but it came. There was a lot of humor here that I appreciated. One of my biggest laughs in the movie is when they were Peter is pouring his heart out to Gamora outside the planet, and he thinks that they're on private comms, and everyone's like, "We can hear you." And they're talking about the buttons and how the colors don't match. Like that, like killed me. I thought there's a lot of good pieces like that in here. We get a Nathan Fillion cameo. What did you guys think about? We can talk about this whole moment as a whole. What did you guys think of the organic planet? Was it a planet? I don't know. Space station.
Space station. I really like. I thought the set piece was really good, especially all the colors, because you got all the suits of all of their technical colors, or as Drax, it doesn't match his eyes at all. But I do like when they got in, everything was bright white, yet they still stand out. So you know, nothing got confused in the scene. And you're right, more Nathan Fillion is never disappointing. But no, that was really good. And how did you guys feel with James Gunn's wife popping up again?
Was she the receptionist? I was trying to figure out. I wasn't sure. Okay.
She was one of the golf ball.
Yeah.
Do I love it? But if I'm making movies, you bet your bottom dollar I'm casting all my friends and family into things. So it's like, I can't blame them, but it's like, yeah, I just, it's like, it's the same I feel whenever like making Kraglin more of a thing. It's fun, but it's like, do we need it? I don't know. But again, not going to blame you, James Gunn. Do what you got to do.
Yeah, I don't care about Kraglin at all, just to be honest with you. Like, that character is a whole bunch of nothing for me. I did like the receptionist. I thought this was really fun, where, like, you know, he's kind of playing the reception off Gamora, saying that, oh, I can charm this. And, like, she, like, is completely not charmed at all. Like, she, like, kind of falls on his side, but, like, she barely talks. Like, most of the time he's, like, pleading to her, and, like, she just has this blank stare. And I don't know, it made for, like, a really interesting character. So, yeah.
See, I think that was all his plan from the beginning, was playing the, like, oh, no, like, why are we killing people? I think his plan was to kill them from the beginning, and he was charming them the whole time, not just at that one scene. And so,
true.
Yeah, because I think it was all part, because at the end, he's like, no, I'm not going to be nice to them, but you need to be nice the entire time, so she believed him for that lie.
Yeah.
So I love that. I loved the colored spacesuits, the homage to Space Odyssey. I thought was very fun. I think one of the things that I noticed in this, and like what James Gunn is going to say, is characters he knows so well, is like Mantis is just floating in the background while they're like coming to the planet, like twisting around, and it's like it fits Mantis's character, and it's so good of like they build these characters up in show not tell ways, and it's like that, but she sticks the landing, which is like a characterization of Mantis. Like, she may have her own way of doing things, but she'll get it done. And that's the Guardians. Me and Michael talked about this. Is like most of this movie I spent shrugging, or like my hands like this, were on my head, like frustrated, like being like, what are you doing? But that's how you should be feeling with the Guardians, which is they're bumbling idiots that somehow figure things out. But man, they are bumbling idiots.
Yeah, I really like the moment where she puts the spacesuits and like the ejector and they're like floating out. I love Mantis. Like, I think it was the holiday special that really turned me around. But yeah, everything with Mantis in this movie was chef's kiss. I love her.
Did you guys get Doctor Who vibes? I don't know if you guys, I got a couple Doctor Who vibes from this movie in general. Maybe there's some of our fans out there, but fans, our listeners. no one's a fan of us. They're just listening to us.
They just happen to, like, they have no other podcast. They've reached the bottom of their podcast queue. Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely got some like Doctor Who vibes from this sequence, but the movie as all.
Yeah. Yeah, not a Doctor Who guy, but
neither am I.
Hey, but it's okay. You're not missing much.
I've seen like Doctor Who characters, and they're like a lot of anamorphic type things. So like when we get to the highly evolutionary stuff, I can see that.
Did you guys like the suits? Did you guys like the big suits they're all wearing? Like, I've got my brothers in Moran too.
Oh yeah, that was a really funny. That was a funny
How good was it when they turned off the gravity? Yes. How good was that scene when they all float up?
Well, and that's the thing, is like this movie and this scene switches from comedy to like tragedy so quickly, and like I that's such an impressive thing to do, and like do it well, and I think it does it so well. It's like I didn't feel dirty for laughing at jokes when like 2 seconds later this horrible thing happens in Rocket's storyline, and I'm like back into another thing, I'm like like it's like it worked, and it kept it from being too, like, it's definitely dark, don't get me wrong, this movie is dark, but it definitely kept it from me feeling dark, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like James Gunn weaved it very well. Like, it doesn't feel out of place from one moment when you're feeling horribly sad to laughing along with a team or a Mantis. And it all it fits all over, like, the overall setting of the whole movie. Nothing feels out of place.
For sure. Well, I mentioned it. Another new character that I am very excited to talk about. One of my most favorite villains, maybe since Thanos. The High Evolutionary. This guy. What a... And here's the thing, Tommy, we talked about this a little bit. There's not like any real explanation to why he is the way he is. He just is evil. And like, sometimes I do like the explanation, but sometimes I don't, because real life villains, sometimes there's no real, they're just bad people. And this guy's like a bad dude. And like, that's all there is to it. He's kind of simplistic in that way, but like from the acting to like the character design to like that, the truly despicable actions he's doing. Like, I hated this man so much, which is why it works so well. I'm here to gush over the High Evolutionary, so I'll throw it to somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, he was phenomenal, and the actor needs to get all the credit. Like, I think it's getting glossed over, but this guy, if this was like, and I think it's because his name is Chakwudi, he really hasn't, he's done more theater, he did a lot of British theater, he's only done like two movies, but man, he went in on this character. He's selling, like, it felt like someone described, I'm going to compare it to Bowser, but in the Mario movie, they talk about how Bowser is like, just crazy enough where it's like comical, but then he can completely flip. And this character was kind of like that for me, of like, he's ritzy and comedic and stuff at times, but then you cannot trust him and he will do the most dastardly things that makes him such more terrifying than someone that's just evil to be like. It's like he's so unhinged that anything could set him off. And like the fact that he was so upset that Rocket was smarter than him, like stuff like that. Oh, it was so genius. I cannot gush enough about the High Evolutionary. I thought it was a great villain, a great and a small stakes villain. This movie, like we've saved the world tons of times with the Guardians. It's nice that this was just a personal backstory story that like this is deep for these characters, but in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't that big of a villain. In well, it was like but like doing good, you know, questionable what they were doing.
Not like oh, I want to take over the world, I want to take over the universe. This is more personal. I agree with both you guys. He played the villain so well, nearly a pure evil villain, like a villain you actually like. Nah, I want to see you get completely wrecked. You know, not like Loki, where you're like, oh, you know, you're slightly redeemable, or Thanos, where you're like, oh, okay, I kind of understand your mission. Like, no, this was a pure evil villain. Even like Gore, the God Butcher, you kind of still understood his mission. But not like this High Evolution was such a pure villain. I loved it. And especially the skin thing. That was creepy as, and you're right. And like the only other movie I've seen this bloke in was the Peacemaker TV series, which he was really good in that as well. And before Guardians of the Galaxy, I didn't really know much about High Evolutionary, but he nailed it. He nailed it. And I've already seen people saying if they need to recast Jonathan Majors, here is your actor.
Oh boy, that'd be interesting.
Yeah,
I would love that.
Gosh, he would be a good game. Yeah. I want to see this guy in everything. He was fantastic.
Yeah. I kind of want to piggyback off the High Evolutionary and talk about a lot of the Rocket flashbacks, because that is very included here. And this is definitely the darkest part of not only the movie, but the podcast as well. Truly, I mean, we get some very vibrant characters here, which I love. Floor, Teeth, and Lila. Obviously, it doesn't end so great for them. But what did you guys think about not to shed another tear, I will throw to you guys.
I loved all the characters, all of them. I'm glad that we got to see Lila from the comics. That was fantastic. I do like how they dived in the full backstory, and I loved how you get to see him have friends and why, and the touching moments, like simple as like when Rocket spoke for the first time and then Lila like helped him when he was bleeding. And just that scene when he breaks out, like me, my partner, three other people in the row, we were all tearing because of that scene. I'm like, these are animals that have been put together with machinery, and I'm tearing, I'm crying because of it. But I fully thought that Lila was still going to be alive. I thought she might still be with High Evolutionary and then Rocket was going to meet with her. But no, we probably got one of the saddest scenes in the MCU, period.
This movie had balls in that way, as far as the deaths go. Like, because, you know, there's websites developed for, like, doesthedogdie.com, which tells you if the dog dies in the movie and whether or not people want to watch that. This needs a website. Like, there's a lot of animal death here, and it's very sad.
Gosh, guys, I saw them pop up my screens. I went, oh no, because I knew right away that this was not going to go well. I didn't believe. I like, you know, everyone knows notoriously not trailer watchers, so I didn't know much. I did know about the animal cruelty stuff that did get on my radar. Like, hey, this movie is a little intense when it comes to how they treat animal experimentation. So I know a little bit about Rocket's story, so I knew kind of where we were going with that. But Lila, our queen, Linda Cardellini, I think I might be a Linda Cardellini full stan at this point. There's probably nothing that I've watched that I'm like, you haven't elevated or improved on the show with your with you being a part of it. And Lila was so good. The earnestness, the like, you're my soul, the soulmates. Like, she's still waiting. They'll get their happy ending in another time, and it'll be great. Yeah. Oh, that was great. When Floor like yelling, and then I love that, the subtle key of like they die because it gets silent, and you don't even think about it until afterwards. Like, oh, Floor got shot, and that's why they stopped speaking.
Yeah, and when Lila dies, the fact that Rocket doesn't cry, he just screams, is just like Jack alone is just such a sad scene. Probably the only thing is I did think until after, I'm like, if you got shot from a gun from that far behind you, you should have like a hole in your chest. Like, you should have burst.
Yeah. It was in the, maybe it was like a tiny bullet, because it was like through the metal piece, right? I saw a little tiny hole on the, Maybe that's too gruesome for them, is like splattered hot or everywhere. Maybe that's too much for Marvel.
Marvel really pushed this one.
Yeah.
James got really pushed between the animals, the F word, and high evolutionary space. Like, that was Two-Face the next step.
Yeah, that was like, you know, if you mirrored Two-Face, that would be.
Yeah.
What you mentioned the F word. I don't want to get away from the animal cruelty of it all, but what'd you guys think of how they used the F word in this? Was that a good moment for you guys?
Perfect. Yeah. Utterly perfect. And I think we've all been there as well. In some scenarios, like, just open the fucking door.
Yeah. I can't get the sound clip yet, but I'm definitely, I don't know when I would use it, but yeah.
Yeah, that was gold. I do want to, just with the Rocket thing, like, I love that this, you know, you Guardians 1, everyone's like, Chris Pratt, leading man. It wasn't Peter Quill's story. It never was. The trilogy never was. It's Rocket's story from the beginning. Yeah. And this shows how he got to be a leader once. And he probably should have been the leader from the beginning, but he wasn't willing to take that mantle again because in his eyes, he failed. Like, you talk about him not crying and screaming, it's because he blames him. He's not sad. He's angry, and angry at himself for getting them in this situation. And it's so tragic. I thought Rocket, the fact that a CGI raccoon can have so much heart and so much emotion and so much character. And like, even at the end of being like, yeah, we don't want to kill these things, but these people need to be protected. Like, he's so like that with the post-credit scene. It's Rocket is probably one of my favorite characters now. And this movie really helped elevate. Cause if you go back and watch 1 and 2, I'm going to have such a different perspective on Rocket's story.
Well, they've set up some, like, that's one thing I didn't realize. I saw a TikTok that kind of talked about, like, all of this stuff is precedented. They've talked about it. He's talked about his past and the, like, horrors of it. He's talked about, like, the fact that he's very sensitive of being called a rodent or a raccoon. And then also in, like, the police lineup they do in Guardians 1, they have, like, the overlay. And they say one of his associates is Lila.
Yeah. Well, that's true for all the characters. Like, I have thought about this a lot, and there's things that bother me in some of the movies where I'm like, why are we seeing Peter's grandpa in Volume 2 and then not doing anything with it? It's because he was going to get his story here. Like, he believed in himself that he would get this trilogy going, and he threw things up and let them stay until he needed them again. They kept bringing up Drax's tragic story without really talking about it for his dad's story. Like, they constantly kept that stuff in your head. So that then when it comes here, you're like, oh, yeah, I guess that was a thing that, like, has been happening the whole time. Oh, it's genius. James Gunn, genius.
Yeah. All those threads, I think probably most of all, James Gunn probably wished, if it wasn't for someone DM his tweets, we would have got this a lot sooner when it was meant to, which I think it was meant to be 2021 or 2022. We were meant to get this. But no, I completely agree with you. So with his grandpa, I thought, oh, that's right. The scene from the start, even with Drax, I'm like, that's right. He was a dad. I got slaughtered with Thanos, which, you know, that's almost wasn't a lot of dialogue in that lot, like that first movie. But yeah, it really wraps up almost a perfect trilogy. If you just look at it as a trilogy, it wraps up really well. On all those threads that you're right. He's just thrown up, see what lands, and it all comes up together. And I was really happy when Rocket finally said, I'm Rocket Raccoon. Like, that was such a cool scene. You're like, yes. And I did see on TikTok, someone actually did a flashback. Someone did like a flash thing to that first scene in Guardians of the Galaxy when they're at the bar. And he's like, I didn't get asked to get made. I didn't get asked to be pulled apart, put back together. And, you know, and like, now you're just like, oh, shit.
You literally gave me chills just saying it. Gosh, because I watched that TikTok too. Dude, that scene is going to be so rough to rewatch.
Yeah,
for sure. You guys want to talk about Counter-Earth? This was something that I thought was really interesting and very brutal, because like Counter-Earth does get destroyed, right? Like there's no saving that.
No, they're all dead.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. I think DC fans need to get excited, because I think we got a little teaser here, because I think that we saw James Gunn's Batman and the Batman family, and this is their story. Their planet got destroyed, and they're going to become stronger. They're in the well underground, and they're going to come back and become the Batman. Because you know what I'm talking about, Michael? Yeah, the Bat family.
Like literal bats?
Well, the Bat family they stayed with. It was a little Bat family. I'm making a bad joke. You missed the joke. It's like Batman.
The train never stopped for me, you know. I was at the train station. It just kept going. I was never on.
No, Batman Easter egg in there. Just the fact that it was bats that they went to go steal. Yes. I thought was very funny.
Yeah, a lot of funny stuff here. I don't know how much more I have to say on Counter-Earth, but this is where the action got really good for me. You know, I kind of mentioned like the organic starship thing. I was like, yeah, I could have, an interesting stop, but this was where things really heated up for me, and I had a lot of fun here.
Yeah. I like the aliens. All the aliens look good, like all the horns. And again, Drax on the couch. We're not disappointing. I love the fact that Drax threw the ball at the little girl's head. You're like, oh, this is how you interact with aliens the first time.
Yeah, the humor really worked for me in this bit. I don't know if it works for everyone, but the Drax stuff or the couch thing. Like, because what it did is he utilizes an ensemble. You know, again, something that I'm just basically praising James Gunn on this podcast. We saw it with Suicide Squad, and a lot of this felt like he learned a lot from Suicide Squad and brought it into here. It's like doing an ensemble while giving everyone time to like do their thing and also interact with each other. And we saw so many pairings and so many different pairings. And I love like Nebula kind of being the mom to the group. I loved the Drax and Mantis with the pinwheel thing and riding off on the bike was great. The ball. Just the action in general. And the fact that like, this is one of those moments I was like shrugging. It's like, Peter gets off great. Groot has wings now. Groot has so many new attributes. Kaiju, Groot, Wing Groot. But the fact that they ended up on the ship anyways. Awesome.
You watched the Batman once.
I don't understand Groot's powers, because like, when he blows up in the first one, he's baby Groot. Like, why didn't he just become a bigger Groot? Like, why did he have to be baby Groot? Because it seems like he can, like, he can kind of expand whenever he wants.
Maybe he chose it because he liked being, like, baby. He was like, I need some time just being baby.
I just want to be me. Oh, we got teenage Groot as well at one point. But you're right. It goes from, like, a little head to having wings to then becoming a massive rock. Oh, no, rock. Like, tree monster. You're like, huh, you could do that the whole time. You could have been that in Infinity War when everyone was on Wakanda. Instead of just being a small tree, you could have been this really big thing.
He was conning them, Lee. He just wanted to be. It's like, listen, if I could be carried for the rest of my life, I would. I'm not going to grow myself legs. Michael, come carry my little potted plant as I just sit here and dance around.
Baby Tommy, I'm telling you, it's our mascot. Yeah.
It'll sell.
Okay, well, let's talk about this. There's like an interesting turn here when they do get on the ship. They find out that the High Evolutionary has like an army of children, basically, that he has been training up here. And one of them becomes pretty relevant a little later on. But there's a lot of stuff to talk about here. The jube of it all. What do you guys think about the kids?
It sounds like terrible, but when they were like, all the kids, like, oh, yeah, save the kids, they're going to die. I'm like, nah, but the animals. You should save the animals first before the kids. That was more to me. But I do love the fact that Drax knew how to talk to them. And he was like, "I'm like, oh, how long have you been able to talk to them? You didn't ask."
Yeah, I love that they had that scene. I think it's on here where Nebula is like calling them out, and Mantis and Drax are like, "Just because we're different doesn't mean that like we're any less like important." You know, it's like I loved the focus on that and the focus on for Drax. It's like, listen, I understand I may be an idiot sometimes, but like I also have qualities. Don't underestimate me and don't write me off just because you decided what put me in a box. I loved all this conversation. I loved and I think the kids brought that out. And this and Counter-Earth in general, I think there's a lot we can take away with our Earth and how we treat people. And how, like, this whole movie is about how we should treat people and animals and all things. All life is important.
So I should throw more balls at children?
Yes.
That was definitely an allegory of how we would treat aliens if they were to, like, land. Yeah, we're throwing the ball right in their face and it's not going to get well.
Welcome.
Well, that's the thing. I don't want us to ever get on an alien planet because you know it's going to get sick. The human race is going to put them, enslave them. It's not going to be a good time for that planet. So, like, man, yeah. The best they get is probably a ball to the face if Earth is invading.
Yeah, well, let's hope it's like the Australians that find the alien life. I think we'd be way better off than like if the U.S. Yeah, I would not trust the U.S. Like Canada somewhere else can find aliens.
Swiss, like this neutral planet, neutral country.
What do you guys know about the kid that becomes part of the new Guardians? I actually completely missed it. My wife had to explain it to me afterwards. I don't know. I guess at some point, like her hands were glowing. I didn't catch that. But who is this?
I didn't notice it either about her hands. I thought it was good that she became part of the new Guardians and that she actually talked normal, technically, for English in space. So I do like she was included and she just. I don't know why, but she reminded me of Gore's daughter in Thor.
Yeah, love, yes.
Yeah.
They're going to fill the same void, I think.
Yeah. I felt that too. I had to read up because I don't know the character, but she is actually a daughter of the original like Captain Marvel, of Mar-Vell. I don't think they're going to go into that. I don't think it's really relevant, but I'm assuming it's like that kind of power is the Marvel power. Really diving into the Marvels of everything and that kind of power stuff, which I already thought Captain Marvel was pretty powerful. That I'm nervous that we're getting a ton of OP people, but yeah, her powers are like energy absorption, projection, cosmic flight type things. It will be interesting. I think like, on that team up, I think her and Warlock probably fit a very similar power stance. But hey, I think Rocket will take whoever will come with them. Are the little raccoons also part of Rocket's Guardian? This is a side check, but do they get little suits and do they join his little guardians?
They should.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know that they're like as intelligent. I think they're just right. I don't know that you can lead them. Like, I think they're like in a pen back home. You know, they're raccoons. They're not Rocket raccoons.
Well, they're just walking around in the scene. He's just sitting on the steps with all the raccoons. I did think, I'm like, how has someone not trotted on them?
Like, oh, no.
There's all these people around. How's no one stepped on one of these little things?
Yeah. Yeah. They need a better home. They need to find a cardboard box to put them in, please. So what about they end up saving, you know, kind of, we've mentioned they save a lot of the animals here. This is a fun moment. My favorite is one of the monkeys that they save like ends up like attacking one of the people from nowhere, and I'm like, that's so funny because like, yeah, it is kind of like, you know, this gimmicky like oh, we're saving all the animals, but like, is that really a good idea? Like, some of these are like, it's gonna be very hard. Like, you're not prepared to take care of like these animals right now.
Like Noah's Ark or something.
Yeah.
I liked the return of the Apollos. Those were cool. And like the fact, again, like don't judge a book. Like Mantis was like, hey, we don't need to just fight these things. Was fun. But yeah, I like the animals. I like the monkey thing. I like the blob. Did you know, Michael, who voices this blob creature that shows up and is like, thanks. And Mantis was like, I wasn't, you're perfectly normal.
I wasn't
scraping
because of you.
Who was that? That was really funny.
Pete Davidson.
Why?
I think James Gunn loves casting Pete Davidson in just really small roles.
Yeah, I like that meme.
Did you like the fact that just a little bit pullback that you saw because with all these animals that speaking of animals like Howard the Duck and the shopkeeper from the first one was all helping in that scene.
Yeah, no, that they all came together here.
Yeah, because they had their card game with in the Kraglin Cosmo plot that everyone was clamoring for in this movie.
That's foreshadowing the cameo draft, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Another thing here, after they kind of get everyone back, this was a weird this I definitely want to ask you guys about this. Groot talks now. What do we how do we feel about that? He just saw another like trick that he's been hiding, maybe.
So, sorry. I agree with you. I was like, huh, this is weird. And then I can't take credit. I heard this on another podcast from my good friend Kevin Mahadeo, where he said that he took this as we, the audience, have been with them for three movies now. We can now understand Groot. And we now understand him. And we can now, in the same way that Gamora was like, I don't understand you, and now and did. And if that's the what James Gunn was going for, outstanding. I love that idea. I love the concept that we are now part of it. We understand the dialect of Groot.
Yeah, 100%. That's right. Then I'm 100% down. I did think when he said I love you, I was like, oh, I'm like, hang on. How long have you been able to talk?
Yeah, no, I love that theory. I'll call it canon now. I like that. That
Yeah,
makes some
I like
sense.
I want it to be true, so it will be true.
There you go. Well, let's talk about when the Guardians split up here, they all kind of go their own way. How do we feel about how they tackled all this? Was there anything that didn't make sense? Like, oh, Tommy, yes.
I just before we do, I just wanted to like overarch talk about Gamora. There's one person we haven't talked about where I think that was a big thing coming into this movie of how are they ever going to hand Gamora went through a big change, right? I think we all agree. And I was very nervous about Gamora going into this movie. I thought it's lesser directors, and we've seen it, would just retcon what happens in other movies. They can't handle what happens in other movies, and they're just like, all right, we just need to handle and whatever. She's back. It's fine. I loved how they handled Gamora. I love that we saw small growth, and I love that it. She is still a new person. She's like, I get why my other self fell for this group, fell for you, and I understand that. I still don't have those feelings, so I still need to go do my other thing, but I now have a respect and I understand where that all came from. I thought it was really well done. I think it also helped the elevate the Peter stuff of like, dude, stop trying to find things in me because you need to look at yourself first. It really worked for me.
I completely agree with you, man. I love the fact that she didn't go off with the guns, that she didn't go off with Peter, she didn't re-fall in love with him. She still went on her own path, and they didn't, do that really cute ending. It was like, oh, I guess I can find this work. Let's go find out if we'll fall in love again. And I'm glad they didn't kiss. I probably the only thing was like, oh no, you died and you forgot everything. Like, she didn't forget everything. She's a completely different version. Like, it's so separate. But no, and I was a little bit worried how much Gamora was going to be with the team in this movie with everything, but I'm glad she was with them for nearly the whole time. I think they did really well. I didn't even know that James Gunn said recently that Gamora was meant to die in Guardians Galaxy 2. She was meant to take Yondu's place, but it didn't make sense for the story.
So here's my hot take. Clearly hot after listening to what you guys said. I don't think Gamora should have been in this movie. I don't think Gamora should have come back to life. I thought Brain again, talking about the fake deaths, I thought it was super weird that they killed Gamora and just to bring Gamora back. I don't think Gamora truly added anything to this movie based on how it ended. I feel like if she's coming back, it needs th there needs to be more growth amongst the characters. I feel like a lot of the gr I see what they're doing with the Peter stuff, but I feel like we kind of got there without the Gamora stuff. And it's like if you're bringing her back, what did she contribute to helping other characters go? Only for her to just because Zoe Saldana's done, she's not coming back. This was her swan song. I just don't get it. I don't get why we did this. I like, and me again, there maybe there was a couple, you can maybe pinpoint a couple little things, but it's just like it's just another character to fill the void, in my opinion. So
I think I hear what you're saying. I don't think it's as hot of a take as you think it is. I think I agree. I think the issue is more of, I don't like how they did it in volume two. And so I think James Gunn also probably didn't love it. And I think he wanted to end Gamora on his terms. And so, because I agree with you, they should have just done the Soul Stone, forget it, it's done. And deal with how Peter deals with that. But bringing her back and then having her just being in space, I think people would have had questions of where's Gamora? And so bringing her back, I think you would have had to. And I think the way they did it, to me, she elevated the story in the sense that she was our outside eye on the group again. She was like, the group has spent a lot of time. They're a close-knit group. And having someone kind of question that close-knitness and then kind of see, like, reevaluate it almost. And I'm not saying it's the best, but I think with what he had, I think it's the best I could have seen for Gamora, because I was expecting the worst, which is she was just going to be back to normal.
So, I hear what you're saying. I think actually, so I can pinpoint my complaint a little bit more. I think my complaint is with Endgame, and that, you know, I think they handled what they had is to the best of their ability within this movie. Maybe dealt a weird hand, but.
Well, she was the biggest question mark in this movie of like, how much is she going to be in the movie? How much is she going to remember? Is she going to re-fall in love with him? You know, and. I still don't know how she got off Earth. I don't, like, did she go through a portal? Did she go through the Ravages? She probably went through the Ravages. No, I just figured out my own answer. Because I was always wondering how she got off the planet.
Yeah.
If she didn't go with the Guardians.
She just disappeared during the battle, I think. Maybe she stole, like, a rogue ship or something. It's never talked about.
Zoe Saldana's done. Yeah, and I would be too if I was her, that the two most biggest grossing movies of all time star me. I'd be like, yeah, I'm done. I'm good.
I don't need this.
Yeah.
I have a lot of respect for, actually most for Dave Bautista, because honestly, I think he's, you know, the best wrestler turn actor. I think he does incredible stuff outside the MCU. Mm. He's my least favorite Guardian. And like, he says, like, I don't want this to be my legacy. I agree. Go out, leave. You can do better than this. Go, Dave Bautista, please. Mm. You're Jim, and you deserve, like, you know, more than, like, you know, the Jar Jar Binks of the Guardians, which, you know, I'm not trying to diss Jar Jar when I say that too much, but.
Well, it's been 10 years since the first Guardian. So it makes sense. And that's the hard part, is that, post Endgame, we're at that stage where all these first phase one characters are all going off, you know, like Scarlett Johansson, she's never coming back. Chris Evans, I think he's pretty set. He's never coming back unless the story is super juicy, which might never happen. And, you know, and even Tom Hiddleston can't be very far off. You know, Chris Hemsworth he'll probably only pop in the next Avengers and that's it. So he has every right to leave. And you're right, I don't know when we're going to see Nebula again, or we'll probably see Rocket again and those Guardians. But we're not going to, when are we going to see everybody else?
And which is, like, to that point, think about it. The only Guardians that came over to the new Guardians team are CGI characters and a bunch of young characters that can stay for a while. Yeah. But
I'll crack it.
Yeah. Yeah, can't get rid of, can't keep Craglin down.
Yeah.
I do think, like, obviously there's more reasons, right? Like, why they're all leaving. I think a lot of them felt very burned by how James Gunn was treated with Disney in general. I think that also influences a lot of them wanting to leave. And so, I think it was the right time for a lot of them to leave, to be honest. I'm not mad that Gamora is going off in the sunset. Nebula is probably going to be on maybe cameos every once in a while. But I think their stories, to your original question, Michael, of like how everyone's stories wrapped up, I think it made sense. There's no one story that I'm like, huh? Like, each of their paths made sense to me.
Mm. 100%. Like, for everyone whose character's gone off, like, that's to that point again, is this movie really wrapped up the trilogy, and now the characters, you're just like, oh, why are you going to do that? Or, oh, I wonder what they're going to do next. You're kind of like, nah, you're good. I don't need to see what you're doing next.
So, you know, for the video listeners, my daughter has entered the screen. Tommy, this is what it would be like if I recorded during the day all the time. I
would just have always. But see, that would be good. We could have takes. Like, yeah. Oh, what do you think of Rocket? And then
Mally, do you want to say hi? Say hi.
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 Hi. Okay, you want to go see Mama? Okay. All right. She's distracted. She wants all the pop figures. Okay. Well, let's talk about. Let's see. Yeah. So all the characters move on. Mantis. She's going off. Where's she going? Are we gonna
to discover herself?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much what she said. With three giant monsters at her side, she's going to go off to discover herself.
What if, Leo, what if we go back to, like, Mantis and, like, she's, like, ruling a world? Like, I feel like that's the thing. If we ever see Mantis again, it's going to be some ridiculous, like, she went off and did something wild.
Yeah. That have to be. And, well, I'm Star-Lord's with his granddad. And I was saying this to one of my friends was, if Star-Lord is going to return, who actually on Earth is going to know he's there? Like, no one knows he's there unless he tries to contact an Avenger, which Avenger would he know is still alive and around?
He knows Spider-Man. He doesn't know Peter Parker.
Wouldn't he? Or would he?
Because he would know that there's a Spider-Man. I think is how they've said it, but you don't know who the Spider-Man is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Probably Spider-Man's probably all he's going to know. But
There has to be something that happens that's very personal to him that kind of brings him out, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like he has to make that decision based on, you know, outside influences.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I know you're not a Guardian anymore, and I hate you don't have your team anymore, and you don't have your ship anymore, but we need your help. You regular dude with two guns.
Or your mask anymore.
Well, what about what if they recast a multiverse version of Star-Lord? Maybe like, you know, with Secret Wars coming up, they all come to, you know, if we're pulling people from different multiverses, maybe we get a brand new Star-Lord. Maybe they recast and, you know, something to do there.
A new team.
Happy with that. Because Chris Pratt doesn't have to be in everything. I'll say it. I'm Chris Pratted out.
Yeah.
A lot of Pratt. Yeah.
I did like his grandpa was named Jason, which is his in the comics, Star-Lord's dad in the comics is Jason, which, you know, nice little hint there. But I got to backtrack a little to the Mantis stuff. Michael, as the notorious big number one Drax hater, you didn't get a little emotional when Drax was like, all right, I'll come with. And Mantis was like, no. And then Drax was crying. You didn't get emotional about that?
Yeah, no, I love their relationship. And actually, I love the way the story ends for Drax. I think they really capped it well with him being the dad and everything. So, like, I think I really came around towards the end. You know, most of the humor for him didn't work for me, but, you know. I wouldn't call myself a hater. He's my least favorite.
Okay. I did like that scene where she's like, you're not a destroyer, you're a dad. And you're like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot that you lost so much. And he's going to be great. Yeah. And he looks so happy that he's going to be with those kids. I do like how he just wore the vest for the whole time. Like, come on. You didn't work out, did you? You didn't work out for this movie. That's why you're only wearing a vest. Because you go back, first one, he's shirtless for nearly the entire time.
Yeah, he's got the dad bod.
Yeah.
Nebula running nowhere makes complete sense to me. I think the only, Groot makes sense. I think maybe this is my little gripe for me. I feel like Groot, out of all the ensemble, kind of got a backseat in this movie. There's probably that wants a Groot garden, you know, investigating the origins of Groot would be a fun little thing, but I don't know if we'll ever get it. I don't know if we need to. It's not really hurting my take of the movie, but that's the one thing of, like, especially when Peter was like, my best friend Rocket. I'm like, get out of here. We all know who Rocket's best friend is. It's Groot. Yeah, it's Ben Groot.
It's Ben Groot, yes.
What did you guys think of Nebula's new arm? The nanotech.
I'm not a big nanotech guy. I think I've had this rant before. I hate nanotech.
Oh,
it's just like, well, you just do anything. Like Iron Man's suit. Like, I like the mechanical. Like, I don't know. It's a little. You just do anything.
Too easy. Like it's
yeah.
Yeah, Michael wants his heroes to work for it. Like, sorry, use regular prosthetic arms.
Yeah, you have a gun arm or you don't have a gun arm. Make the choice.
Okay, so I want to give this chance to, like, if there's anything we skipped over. I know there's one that we didn't talk about I really want to mention. And I don't have a lot to say. I just want to mention it, that my favorite fight scene and, like, maybe even before in-game, this hallway fight scene was just truly immaculate. I thought it's so well choreographed, and it's the kind of thing we don't get. Like, so often these Marvel movies, it's like, are they're just phoning it in with the action. It's a lot of usually very bare bones, but this was just so fun. The way the characters were using their different powers here. Like, I really loved this.
Yeah. This whole hallway scene was so good. And I love all the camera angles. And some of those shots, I think, especially with Rocket, were very comic book accurate of like how he shoots, how he yells, and stuff with Peter Quill and the guns. I did like how we got another scene of Groot just extending his arm out, going like through like three villains. That's all he has to do, whatever he's shooting. And I totally forgot about Gamora's sword until that point. And no, but that was really good. I love how the villains were like half chickens, like half mech chickens. But no, and to that point, like after I watched this scene, top fight scenes for me that came to my mind was No Way Home with Spider-Man and Green Goblin in the hallway. That made me think of that. And I always pull back to Shang-Chi because I think before the CGI, some of the scenes in Shang-Chi were perfectly choreographed. But that's like when after the hallway scene, that's where I thought, and then of course I thought Daredevil.
Yeah, hallways. It seems like Marvel should just have all action scenes happen in hallways.
Star Wars does it too with Rogue One, and then Luke coming in a Mandalorian. Like, yeah, it's always the hallway.
I'm gonna make a whole movie in this hallway, just all hallways.
Yeah. Oops, only hallways movie.
Oops, only hallways. I love that. I think we should mention briefly, Kraglin. We got a Yondu cameo. I'm so mad. That's the one that I thought, and I didn't say it, and I should have because it's a good one. But we get Kraglin, the Cosmo. I thought Cosmo was great. I like that he was a big part of it instead of just a background this time. And I want your takes on the soundtrack. Where do we rank this soundtrack compared to the other two? How do we feel?
Real quick, just on Cosmo, I did see on Instagram, which I thought was really cool. Really cute. They took the dog to the premiere. Dog that did Cosmo was at the premiere with the voice actor.
Yeah, she's awesome. I don't know her name. She's in Borat too. She's really great. I'm really glad she's in the MCU. What was the question, Tommy? There was a question.
The soundtrack. Kind of where do you rank it just off the top, but also did you like it overall in general?
I don't know that this was my favorite. I felt like there were some good songs, but I was like, it's either too on the nose or like way off board. Like it starts with Creep playing, and I was like, what? Why is Creep? Why is this song? Like I don't know that fit. Like Rocket. Like does he think he's a creep? I don't. Maybe is there like some thematic?
I thought it was about Peter and his drumming.
Okay. Grabbing Nebula's arm. I love you, Gamora.
That was again, like I love that, but again it was like a funny joke, but it also like did well of like, yeah, you do just jump from girl to girl. The fact that someone just suggested maybe you should date Nebula, you're like, you know, you do have some beautiful eyes.
He picked nice eyes to take out of your skull and put in
go ahead, Lee.
I know I was going to say, like, the soundtrack for me, I agree. Like, some were a hit and some were a miss. But I think, first Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2 will be the more memorable soundtrack compared to this. Like, don't get me wrong. I did, like, No Sleep Till Brooklyn through the hallway scene. Like, that was perfect. And I did actually like Creep. I did actually thought, like, that kind of focused more on Rocket when he was singing it. And that kind of, like, sort of set the tone. But besides those two songs, nothing really comes to me straight away.
So another one that stood out was Dog Days Are Over at the end. And my brother and I turned to each other and we both rolled our eyes. Because that was the one I was like, this is really on the nose. But whatever, it was cute.
Yeah, it's hard because I just like the scene. I like, and that's the thing. I think you're all hitting on it. It's a fun soundtrack, but there's nothing that's like iconic other than like No Sleep to Broken is probably the one that really comes into my mind. But it's like Guardians 1, all of those are bangers. Guardians 2 has so many that like stick in your brain and they complement the scene so well. I do think the Dog Days, like maybe the music doesn't work, but the whole idea of the scene of just like, they're not even great dancing, and I love that fact. They're just dancing and just letting it out and expressing themselves, and the payoff of Drax dancing for the first time and all that stuff really worked for me. So maybe I just let the music not bother me as much because, gosh, I just love that they were all just jamming out with their buds.
Yeah, I actually forgot to say ask you guys, did you like so full pullback? I forgot to say before with higher evolutionary, but did you like how Peter kind of like broke that trump of like, I don't care if your daddy didn't love you, I don't care about how you want to take over the universe, shut up. Like, did you like that was that trope was cut off kind of.
Yeah, no, that's I think that's something we typically point and laugh at, and yeah, just we didn't need it, so yeah, it worked for me.
Yeah, there's gonna be a deleted scene where the high evolutionary mother is also named the same name as Peter's
Yeah.
mother's name, and then they're gonna bond, and that's what happens.
Yeah.
But they scrapped it. They scrapped it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did scrap it, didn't they?
Your name is
Which is.
Martha.
You guys have anything to say about the post-credit scenes? I think we talked about like a lot of the new Avengers throughout. I don't know how much more we can add there. And the second one's kind of straightforward too. But what do you
Yeah.
guys, anything?
I like the first one, but the second one I was kind of like, okay. Just talking to Gramps. I'm like, okay. But the most interesting was just the title card of that he will return for me.
Yeah, I feel like the second one could have been. This is where we could have touched on the rest of the Marvel Universe. This is where this could have been teasing up your other thing. I don't think we needed to know that. Like, to be honest, I didn't need to know that Star-Lord's coming back. I would rather have him just randomly. We know he's on Earth, so I'd rather him just show up when he shows up instead of like now I know he's coming at some point. And the first one worked for me. I think probably the weaker of the credits that I've seen in a while, but. I'm not judging a movie based on their credit scene, so it didn't bother me too much.
Well, we
It
all remember
wasn't.
Iron Man 3s.
I don't know that I do
Yeah.
actually.
That was where he was like, it was Bruce talking to him the whole time in a therapy session. Like, it
Yeah,
didn't
where it's
actually
just a
lead to.
random Bruce Banner cameo.
Yeah, it didn't actually lead to anything. You're like, oh.
Yeah. No, neither of them were like just like a dumb callback joke like Multiverse of Madness. So,
Yeah.
it's at least there's some substance to it, I guess.
Oh, see, sometimes I listen. Sometimes I don't mind. You're talking to the wrong person because I love a good callback joke.
I mean, I do it within the movie, but when I'm like sitting there for 10 minutes waiting for that post
Yeah.
credits scene, and it's
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, whatever.
Okay, but did you
It's
like
very good.
Did you like the Spider-Man, Captain America, you sit here and wait
Okay,
for
well, that's
long?
like
Oh, yeah,
really
true.
funny.
Yeah.
So,
as long as it's very
it
funny,
has to be
callback
very
joke.
funny, not
Yeah.
just a little funny.
Nah, but I do like the Guardians Galaxy are still going. That was a good scene. And Rocket team and they're all wearing the suits. I love the fact they're all wearing the suits, even the kids.
So, I wanna dive into what I did on Instagram, which was a cameo draft, and I want to talk about our winners. And funny enough, two of the winners are on this podcast right now. Tommy, you called Howard the Duck, and Lee called Yondu. There was a three-way tie, and two of you. And actually, it might seem like you guys were like the only ones. A lot of people submitted, and it just so happens the two of you were right.
Who is the third tie with us?
The third tie was Danny Fandoms on Instagram. He
Oh.
also guessed Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
So a lot of people guessed Stallone, but I did not count it because I looked up and he was confirmed to be in the movie. So I think that's a little cheap. So
And it was you also saw a promo I think I saw a trailer clip with him in it
I think he was
so
Yeah, I really thought I was pretty confident. Michael knows I had a second. My second one was I thought actually one of the post-credit scenes was going to be Bucky showing up being like, where's my arm? Especially with all the references to the Christmas special. I was pretty confident this might happen. Like there were so many, like we didn't talk about, but the newspaper having Kevin Bacon missing, I thought was so funny. That's probably the best part of the post-credit for me. But I thought Bucky and his arm was going to show up, but I missed that one.
I feel like Rocket always, like, I heard a theory on Earth 894, and the theory, and I don't remember, somebody wrote in with the theory, so it wasn't their theory, I don't remember. Regardless, the theory was that Rocket is building a cyborg, because he's looking for the eye, the arm, the leg, and the theory was that they would build a cyborg, Rocket's cyborg in this, but we didn't get it. But he's not gone, so we can still get it in the future.
That's true. My other guesses was Miss Marvel and Kevin Bacon. I thought maybe Kevin Bacon would have another cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And then I did think Miss Marvel because I did think space, that's the next movie coming up. Maybe there'd be something after the credits scene or one of the Guardians bumps into her when they leave. But no, I'm just glad I got a Yondu.
Yep, well done. Well done.
My other one was Gardner because I thought when I heard it was Rocket Baxter, I'm like, maybe we'll see a little bit of like Groot and Rocket meeting and maybe we'll do some Gardner stuff there, but or like a setup, but alas, just Howard.
Yeah. Howard's good.
Well, all right, guys, that ends my list of things to talk about. Anything you want to touch on before we close out here?
Here's a good question. With Phase 4 and Phase 5, semi-Phase 4, obviously, this is only the second movie, where would you place Guardians Galaxy 3 post-Endgame in everything we've gotten so far?
2. Second. Behind No Way Home.
Mm. I'm pretty much the same.
Well, I don't know. I might... I do love the Eternals a lot.
I know. It's like, for me, it's a, like, there's definitely a lot fighting for it. I think Eternals is really good. Shang-Chi does what it needs to do. I think being my top 5, not my top 3. I think No Way Home, I think it beats out No Way Home because I think this is why. I think this one relies less on nostalgia ability. I think it does have nostalgia, but like No Way Home is like, nostalgia is driving that bus for that movie.
Yeah.
It's not like, so I think for me, this might be the best. It will be beating Eternals. I need to rewatch Eternals. I think it's been a bit now.
No Way Home killed a character, Tommy. That's huge for me. Somebody died.
Killed characters. Oh, yeah. They killed characters. What about, how dare you, Michael, say this on the disgrace on Lila, Toofs, and Floor's graves? How dare you?
Someone actually died.
I don't know that they are substantial enough for me. I need a bigger head on my platter.
What do you call this? Someone a bigger head. Nah, not an animal.
Yeah, they cut off Groot's head and he's still alive. Like, he crawls around. Like, you know.
Wow. You were in here first. Animal death isn't enough for Michael.
Hashtag animal death doesn't count.
Well, I think a lot of people would be happy to hear me say I'd rather a human die than an animal. How about that?
Yeah, I'll give you that. But yeah, for me, Guardians of the Galaxy would be, probably second after No Way Home. And for a more of an original story, not like pushed by nostalgia, is number one. And then for me, like Wakanda Forever has been really good. And Shang-Chi, and then you get down to like Doctor Strange. And I still completely forget about Black Widow. Like, I just forget about that so much.
I like that movie more than most as well. So
yeah, it just suffered so much from the world changed after Endgame, and it was like it was still catching up to like, oh, we should have probably made this back when we were still doing like Civil War and like Winter Soldier.
Should be made after Civil War, but do you find it was weird, like something that we would never think would happen, the fact that the head of DC Studios has been going around to all of the Marvel premieres and talk about Marvel at every interview? Like, do you think we'd ever see that? Head of DC Studios at Marvel stuff.
It's wild.
Well, and that's the thing. If they can keep I don't know how James Gunn feels about Marvel because of everything. could we get a DC Marvel crossover? This feels the most hopeful I am because we have we have that bond right there. I think we could see it.
He says that it's been talked about. I think there was a quote, and I'll be paraphrasing, but he said, "Well, I think we have to set up our universe before we talk about it, but it's been talked about." So,
would you want to see live action animated?
Yeah,
I'd want it as like its own, no canon, just like a fun thing, because we've seen too much. They've referenced them as like super. They've referenced them as like the TV products in Marvel already. So it'd be weird to be like, oh yeah, they actually exist. Like I think even in this movie, we see. I saw it very quickly, so I haven't rechecked myself. I thought we saw like a Darkseid toy at some point in like one of the kids' things. So like, I think they'd have to explain it really well how these things can exist, or just make it non-canon and just do it for fun.
Yeah.
I was gonna say I'm probably like happy to see it animated, like TV show, like Marvel's What If kind of style. Yeah. A whole series that I'd love to see that, and not really probably take anything from MCU or the current DC, just like a fresh, like everyone's still alive basically.
Yeah, I think you nailed the head, nail on the head there. I think maybe season 4 of What If is like. Every episode is, I think you could do something fun there.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys. Do we want to do recommendations? Something you want to leave with the audience here? I got one. I don't think the podcast listeners, I don't think they need me to recommend it, but the thing I've been doing and the thing that's been taking most of my time is, of course, Jedi Survivor. If you played the first one, this is the same game on crack. It is so much fun. There's a lot of emphasis on like the parkour navigation in this one, which I am really enjoying, and as well like a lot of the fighting. The story is pretty good. It's one of the few games, and I'm like not a side quest guy when I play games, right? Like I'm not gonna play all the side quests. This is one that I'm like, I gotta do it all. I gotta go to every nook and cranny. I gotta check under every staircase. I gotta go through every hidden door. It's just, if you're a Star Wars fan, it's chef's kiss. Great game.
100%. I'm loving it. I actually did it last night. I was playing until about 12:30. I was like, I really probably should turn this off because I gotta get up early. it's really the first one turned up to 11. I love the fact that you pretty much got all the upgrades straight away for the game. And I've even found moments in the game where I've just been looking over like just the land, just some of the visual shots have been fantastic. And so far, the feedback I've seen for it's been fantastic. Besides the how much gig update you had to take when you first put in the game, I was so pissed about that. But besides
how many
that,
games did you uninstall, Lee?
I had to install 3.
Yeah, that's same.
I was like, I got home from work. I'm like, I'm going to play this. Got home at 5 o'clock. I didn't play the game until like 11.
Yeah, yeah. Tommy, are you going to play?
Listen, some of us still have a PS4. So no, I cannot, unfortunately. I'm envious. I've heard amazing things and I wish I could. But unfortunately, listen, unless a listener wants to send me a PS5.
One of our fans.
One of our fans.
Fan mail. Here's our P.O. box. Tommy, I do want a podcast about it, so I might leave you in the dust.
Hey,
when
that's...
I meet them.
Oh, no. You make it sound so dark.
You don't have PlayStation 5. Get out.
Yeah.
I'm myself.
Sorry, this is only a PS5.
To be fair, podcast. I'm playing on the PC. I don't have one either, to be fair.
Yeah.
But now
what about recommendations from you guys? Anything you guys are watching, playing, reading, eating, smelling?
I don't know if you guys have started watching, but I recommend watching Ted Lasso. That is, I got drawn to it from a mate who was telling me to watch it. I was like, oh, okay. Isn't it just about a soccer team? He's like, no, watch it. But it's actually really funny. Actually really like emotional. Like it's really touching. There's only like 3 seasons. The only shit thing is it's on Apple TV. I'm like one of the streaming accounts that I don't choose to have.
And you can't share that password, right? Like that's one, it's like tied to your Apple ID. That's what sucks.
Yeah. I'm like, And then if I try to borrow from anyone, it's shit. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to pay for this. And it's the only time I've ever paid for Apple TV, because I'm like, I got Disney Plus, I got Netflix, I'm good.
Yep. Check out Severance.
Have you seen Severance?
If you have Apple, before you get rid of it, Severance is also up there. Apple does do some good shows right now. Yeah. But my recommendation, and maybe I should do, while you do your Star Wars Survivor, I'll branch off. Maybe I'll go off, do my own thing, and do like an anime or animation podcast. Because I'm all in. Choo-choo train. It's some good stuff over there. I know people judge it, but there's some good storytelling. Mm. I'm fully in on Full Metal Alchemist right now. I'm around episode 30, so no spoilers. But it's really good. It's dark. It reminds me of this movie. Honestly, I like watched certain things from Full Metal and then went into this movie and was like, did they know? Did they cater to this to me? And the fact that I just saw some pretty tragic things. But yeah, really enjoying the time over there watching some Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Tommy, are you ready for some breaking news?
Breaking news.
This is pretty big. And I didn't expect to tell you on the podcast. But I'm being roped into a project.
Whoa.
That my buddy Luke, who actually will be talking to Luke tomorrow on the Visions podcast, Luke wants me to do an anime podcast with him as the person who doesn't watch anime and he's the anime expert. And I told him, I said, I have my hands full. If we do this, it's going to be like once a month at that. So it's going to be a small little project, but he's getting me to watch anime and we're going to talk about it.
Do it.
Yeah. It's very exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for that. We'll see when that comes together. But I said I would do it. So we'll see how far I get in the anime world.
Yeah. You gotta cater it to the person. Like I had my sensei in our good friend Alex Brizard. I was you once, Michael, where I was like, no, I'll never like it. And he catered certain shows to me. And I think I believe in Luke to be able to pick the shows that he thinks is going to be right for you.
Yes, for sure. That's okay, man. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know when it's coming or what. It's in the works. It's in the talks right now. Yeah. But okay, so Lee, thank you so much for joining us. Honor to have you here. I want you to give you the chance to tell people where they can find you and anything else you're up to.
As always, you can find Lawrence Cameron on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, all the rest. And actually, I'm going to be recording next week's episode with the Unqualified Heroes.
Great guys, Danny and Messi.
Yeah, they reached out, and I can't wait to chat with them. We're doing Guardians of the Galaxy, so I'm really pumped for that. And yeah, listen to their podcast, and they're really getting around, aren't they?
Yes, they're all over the place. They're great guys. Did pretty well in the trivia tournament, so good for them.
And Tommy, thank you so much.
Yeah. Sorry.
I was going to say thank you so much for inviting me, and probably most of all, I got to thank both of you for doing it this time. I know you guys always have that set time, so I'm really appreciative that you guys changed that.
No, I think both of us were kind of like, we needed an early one to begin with. So the fact that we were like, well, this might be a good time to get our buddy Lee on. So, glad we can make it work. Tommy, what else?
Remember to love your animals.
Yeah.
Like, go out, give your animals a little squeeze out there.
Yeah. And listeners. The baby Tommy plushies are coming soon.
Yeah, they'll be coming. They'll be coming. Like with me in general, like I'm good. I'm here watching stuff, living, breathing, feeling, you know, I would tell you, like, I would plug my socials. But, like, I think it's been like 3 years since I've ever posted like anything. I just,
you
like
post on sometimes. Instagram a fair bit.
Do I?
I mean, probably more than Twitter.
Let's put this to the test. What is the last Instagram was October.
Oh, you're going to spoil it. I was going to see if Lee wanted to bet. If it was, I'm betting it was Instagram that you posted on last.
I was going to Instagram.
Yeah. The last Instagram was October 2022 for Halloween. It's something like a story, but we're talking about like post.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I posted my Everything Everywhere costumes. And then my last, well, what do you count? I retweet a lot. Like if I'm on podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, okay. Personal tweet.
Then I think you're right. I think it is Instagram because I basically just retweet on Twitter now. The last tweet was August. I had to do the math, guys.
I'm not good at that.
Funny when you paused. Like,
yeah, I when I see an 8, I'm like, okay, I know some.
I did that too.
8/20/22, where I talked about my love for Infinity Train and how terrible it was that HBO Max got rid of all their animated shows.
Yeah.
Hey, it's only called Max now.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so
easy there.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for
easy. Peacock. We're just the Max over here.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for Peacock to shorten.
Whoa, easy there. Wow, on that note, I'm going to close this out. I'd like to remind you guys to rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. Also, please subscribe because we're going to be here every single week. And actually, we're going to be here tomorrow with our Visions Roundtable. This is a pretty long podcast. I think we're probably going to go about the same amount on Visions. We have a lot to talk about there. Super excited to do it. Got really fun guests. We got 3 guests for that one. It truly is a roundtable. So very excited for you guys to see that. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Stark Wars Pod. Also, I don't talk about it a whole lot, but we do have merch. Lee is sporting it here today, the nice baseball tee designed by our buddy Luke, my anime partner now. Check that stuff out. That is in the link in the bio. Or the show notes. There's no bio. ask us for our Discord link because we have a little Discord community going on. We'd love to have you. But that is all we got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Hey, guys.
Bye.
This might be the longest one, Lee.
Yeah.